Father, we give you the praise and the honor tonight. Worship him. Lift your hands and just worship him. We adore you. We magnify you. We worship you. We glorify. We honor and be adored. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Welcome everyone here this night in Jesus' precious name. Meeting is holding for the sake of the fact that the very first Wednesday every month is a preservation service. The Lord gave us that direction since the Rewan days with very, very drastic significance in the lives of the people. I'm going to look at a very important subject, and it's titled Preservation by the Blood Sacrifice. Preservation by the Blood Sacrifice. Exodus 12 and in verse 13. The Bible said, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Preservation by the blood sacrifice. Our objective tonight, twofold. One is understanding the preservation power of the blood. Number two, understanding how to engage the blood for preservation. The Bible said it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul in Leviticus chapter 17 and in verse 11. Throughout scriptures, the blood has been relevant and instrumental for the preservation and the shielding of man's life. The preservation and the shielding of man's life. I am going to give instances in scripture, about 7 or 8 of them, where the blood sacrifice was directly or indirectly connected with preservation. Number one occasion was the preservation of Adam and Eve in the fall. God had told them, the moment you eat the fruit, you shall surely die. And they ate the fruit. To cover them from the immediate consequences of their transgression, God did something in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 31. From the immediate consequences. 3:21. And God, unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. That is, immediately after the fall, God literally killed and skinned an animal or animals. The blood of these animals was shed. And the Bible said God used it to cover them. That covering, I believe, was not just the covering of nakedness, but the covering of the immediate consequences or immediate disasters that will come with the fall. That will be our first example. Example number two is or was the preservation of Joseph from the conspiracy of his brethren. The preservation of Joseph from the conspiracy of his brethren. In Genesis 37, Joseph was known as a dreamer. They had been plotting how to kill him. And in fact, they agreed that they should kill him. The dreamer cometh, let's kill him. And let's see how his dream will come to pass. So the original plan and the ultimate plan was the death of Joseph. But they did something that they never knew was a divine orchestration. In verse 31 to verse 33 of Genesis 37, verse 31, and they took Joseph's coat, 31 to 34, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. That was the point of contact with the life, that coat with the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father. And said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. They dipped it in blood. And he knew it. And said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn into pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes. And put sackcloth upon his loins. And mourned for his son many days. What they never knew was that this blood sacrifice is symbolic of the blood that Jesus will shed for the rest of time in time to come. And that this had blocked any attempt at the premature killing of Joseph. But they never knew. They thought they were being smart. But God was orchestrating things even behind the scenes. And Joseph went into Egypt, passed through circumstances that could have killed him. Potiphar was a prison officer. He could have eliminated him when they say he had something with his wife. But Joseph was preserved alive because consciously or unconsciously, an animal was killed as a point of contact for his life. We'll come to that shortly. The preservation of Joseph from the conspiracy of his brethren. Number four is or was the preservation of the spies that were hid by Rahab the harlot. The spies were hid by Rahab the harlot. In Joshua chapter 2 and in verse 15 to verse 16, when these people came into the land of Jericho to spy the land, pursuers got to know that there were strangers in the land. So they began to pursue them. And they had slept in Rahab's house that was upon the wall. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Verse 16. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, may you go your way. That rope was a scarlet colored, blood colored rope. Blood colored rope. It was symbolic of the blood. He used it to cause them to escape death. He used it to cause them to escape to safety. But that was not the overall assignment of that bloodline, I will call it now. That was not the overall symbol. Because the same bloodline saved Rahab. Now, if you look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 17 to verse 19, Rahab and all her father's house. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet
This blood-colored rope, this bloodline, call it, in the window which thou didst let us by, the same window you passed us through, tie it on it. And you shall bring your father, and bring your mother, and bring your brethren, and all of your father's house into your house that has the bloodline. Keep going. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of your house into his street, he is on his own. His blood shall be upon his head and will be guiltless. But whoever comes under this cover, his blood will be on our head if any hand be upon him. That was what he did. And everybody came under that line of the blood. And if you read the story of this Jericho wall very well, when they shouted and the wall of Jericho fell down flat, there was a segment of the wall that could not fall. That was the segment that had the bloodline, the scarlet tree. Because after the collapse of the wall, they went and what happened? They found out. Can you show me that plate? So there was a preservation power that happened. So the Old Testament is a shadow of you. Rahab's house was still standing. Nobody did. You feel your days under the banner of the blood of Jesus, that we have come to position our lives. Both you, your family, your father's house, I declare you are preserved. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for the blood. Locate the place where they brought Rahab. That is further down from the house. While the wall fell flat, there was a house on the wall that was still standing. Hallelujah. That was the preservation of Rahab. There is one very, very exciting and interesting. It's the preservation of Samson and his parents. In fact, the preservation of Samson's parents from the fear of death. After the angel had come and encountered Samson's mother, the wife of Manoah, in Judges chapter 13, verse 22, and then the angel disappeared. The angel did wondrously. The sacrifice they offered, as the flame came up on that sacrifice, the angel stepped into it. Maybe you back up to verse 19. The angel stepped into the sacrifice and disappeared to heaven. So Manoah took a kid, that is baby goat, with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. So sacrifice creates celestial highways. We'll talk about that another day. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. Now 22 and 23 was the main problem. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. Nothing will prevent us from dying. We have seen God. No man shall see the Lord and live. The Bible said in Exodus, take your seat. But look at the counsel of his wife. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord was interested in killing us, he wouldn't have received burnt offering. If we are going to die, he won't collect burnt offering. He won't collect meat offering from our hands. Neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. So they went ahead. Verse 24. And the woman bare a son. If he will kill us, he won't allow us to kill the kid. In other words, the shedding of the blood of the kid, that blood sacrifice closed the door of any possibility of death. That blood sacrifice closed any door.
I announce to somebody here today, by the speakings of the blood of Jesus, you shall fulfill your days. You shall fulfill your days. What killed others in your family cannot kill you.
If you believe that, say aloud, amen. The preservation of Samson's parents. Anybody getting anything from here at all? Say amen. Number five, example, or rather instance of the blood sacrifice, was the preservation of Samuel and the army of Israel in the face of the Philistines. Samuel and the army of Israel in the face of the Philistines. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, maybe we'll start from verse 7 for a better understanding. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb, a baby sheep that is breastfeeding, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord, another blood sacrifice. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the blood sacrifice, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until you come unto Betkar. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Lift your right and say, "Father, thank you for the power of the blood." Louder, say, "Thank you for the power of the blood sacrifice." Thank you for the power of the blood sacrifice. Let me announce here tonight, the blood of Jesus is not only going to preserve you, it's now going to cause occasion judgment in the camp of the wicked. It's going to occasion destruction in the camp of your pursuers. Everyone who wants you dead, they will receive the judgment of the blood, the judgment of the sacrifice. You believe it, shout the loudest, amen. Lift your right hand and say, "The blood of Jesus." Thank you, Lord, for the blood. The blood of Jesus sets me free from sin and sorrow. The blood of Jesus sets me free. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. From sin. I'd like you to do from death and sickness. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. From death and sickness. From death and sickness. The blood. Hey! The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets me free. From death and sickness. Premature death. Strange disease. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets me free. From death and sickness, the blood of Jesus set me free. Give the Lord a big clap. You shall fulfill your days. Those pursuing you to destroy you, they shall experience their destruction. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting anything out of here at all? If you are getting anything out of here, shout the loudest, amen. Number six is the preservation of Samuel in the house of Jesse. This one looks somehow to many people, but it's very clear what happened. Samuel in the house of Jesse. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 2. I can actually start from verse 1. And then you see the implication. And the Lord said unto Samuel,
How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. Now look at the complaint in verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. He will kill me. That somebody else has been anointed to be king while he is alive. And the Lord said, take an heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Somebody said, was God telling Samuel to die? It would have been a lie. If the sacrifice did not happen, he said, say, I have come to sacrifice. And he said, I have come to sacrifice. And he did, and sacrificed nothing. It would have been a lie. But it was a prophetic action that achieved at least two or three things. Number one, it was a prophetic action that achieved setting the stage for divine operation. He said, as you sacrifice, I will show you what to do. Secondly, it was a divine action that prepared the ground for the cleansing of the people. He says that sanctify the people before they come for the sacrifice. He set the stage for divine operation. While you are sacrificing, I will show you what to do. And then he prepared, it was a divine action that sanctified the people for the selection process. And thirdly, it was a divine action guaranteeing the preservation of Samuel from the threat of Saul. In other words, once that animal shed his blood, it doesn't matter what Saul hears, he can't kill you. The death you would have died, the animal died it. Any death you could die, this animal took it. That was how God gave him both the wisdom, the strategy, and the prophetic activity that will save his life. Every soul looking for your life, they will die before you. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. Who is he that can harm you when you be followers of that which is good? By the speakings of the blood sacrifice, you shall fulfill your days. One of the most dangerous ones I found, number 7, was the victory of the Moabites before the army of Jehoshaphat. The victory of the Moabites. If you remember 2 Kings 3, Israel was in battle against the Moabites. There was no water. He located the prophet Elisha, who said, bring me a minstrel. And they brought a minstrel. Now let's look at it. 2 Kings chapter 3. Look at verse 15. Start from verse 13. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I will not look in your direction.
So the king of Israel and the king of Judah were together against Moab with one more king. He said, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Keep going. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a lightning in the sight of the Lord. He, Jehovah, will deliver the Moabites into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and you shall fell every good tree. You will stop all wells of water. You will mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass when the meat offering was offered, that behold, that sacrifice, there came water by the way of Edom to prevent the destruction of the people. Even though the prophecy came, there was need for an offering still to make the prophecy came to pass for their preservation. And the country was filled with water. Now, what is challenging me now is that Jehovah said, I am giving Moab into your hand. You will so finish them until there is no good land left. But something happened and the matter changed. Every time Judah is fighting, God is fighting with them. Every time Israel is fighting, God is fighting on their side. But in verse 26, the king of Moab pulled the trigger. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too much for him, too sore, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even to the king of Edom. But they could not. That's the third king, Israel, Judah, Edom. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation. There was a breakout of calamity in the camp of Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. Did we not just hear that God said, I will deliver them into your hand? You will destroy every piece of land. Now, even Jehovah's word had to be set aside in the face of blood sacrifice. God was fighting and he said, Israel, Judah, Edom, go back home. You have lost in this battle. What this man has done reminds me of what I am going to do. Sending my son to die for the sin of the world. It reminds me of the blood sacrifice that will redeem humanity. Now you have lost the battle. Return back home. If the word of God, the verdict of God, the decree of God can be set aside by the power of the blood sacrifice of a human being, how much more shall the decree of a witch, a wizard, be set aside by the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? If the verdict of God, the voice of God, the ordinance of God, what God has said for sure, that must surely stand, was set aside because a human blood sacrifice was offered, how much more shall the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus set aside every conspiracy of witchcraft, set aside every gang up of the occult, set aside every decree of ancestral curse, generational curse? I stand here today by the mantle of God. I stand here today by the anointing of God. I don't know who has spoken against your life, spoken against your destiny. I don't know the altars that it built that have decreed some things against your life and against your destiny. By the voice of the blood of Jesus, I declare they are set aside. They are set aside. You will not die before your time. The enemy cannot overrun you. The enemy cannot overwhelm you. The enemy cannot bury you and your children. Can't bury you and your family. If you're saying amen, shout the Lord and say amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a lot of shout of praise.
Help me tell three people, tell them by the blood of Jesus you are preserved and your household. By the voice of the blood, you are preserved, both you and your household. Mashadi galorato sati galagaraya de hazari. Lekeberuna tesete feta kakalagara. Give the Lord a shout of victory as you take your seat.
When was the last time you heard that God said something and God himself backed off? I was the one who said you will win. I am the one who is not fighting with you again. I'm not fighting for you again. I am not against your enemy again. You are on your own. Hallelujah. Finally, number 8 was David's blood sacrifice for the preservation of Israel. You know, one day the Bible says Satan moved David to number Israel. Satan moved him. You know, many things that destroy people are actually the moves of Satan. Manipulation of the devil. Go on this journey. Go on this journey. Go, 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 go. I don't know whether it's that man who testified that day. He said, when he was marrying the first wife, his family. The first person wanted to marry, so he brought the second one. I don't know if it's the first. He brought the second one. And the first one, people said, I shouldn't marry. This second one, I must marry. He married and lived in hell for years. Satan moved David and he numbered Israel. And somebody is saying, what is the challenge with numbering Israel? I think the challenge was very simple. It looks like God began to feel jealous. Oh, really? So you are now going to count on people. You count. It's not just counting the people that was the challenge, but counting on the people. You won't count on me anymore. That is, you have people that can fight for you. You have military might. All right, be on your own. Let me destroy your strength. What you are depending on. And God said, choose three things. 3 days of famine. He gave him three options. None of it was good. How many years in the hands of his enemies? And he said, Lord, either 3 years of famine or 3 months you are destroyed before your enemies while the sword of your enemies overtake you, or 3 days in the sword of the Lord. Even pestilence in the land and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise yourself what I shall bring again to him that sent me. An angel was talking. And David said, I am in a great challenge. Who should I fall into? Let me fall into the hand of the Lord. For great are his mercies. If I fall into the hands of my enemy, they will finish all of us. But let me not fall into the hands of the enemy. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel. And there fell in Israel 70,000 men in one day. 70,000. Now let's look at. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying it, the Lord beheld it. And he repented of the evil. And he said to the angel that destroyed it, it is not, stay your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. He stood with sword still drawn. But I like us to look at the Samuel version of this, and then we'll return back here. And so, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. The same story. And the king said to Aruna, Aruna is in the Bible, right? Aruna. Nay, but I will surely buy it of you at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David began to look for Arauna the Onan, who is called Arauna also, the Jebusite, to buy his land, to offer sacrifice. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen, that is cows, for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the land was entreated. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was paid from Israel. As soon as the offering was perfected, the plague stopped. Now let's go back to 1 Chronicles 21 now. How the plague stopped, you will see the process in this one. Now let's start from verse 24. And the king said unto Onan, I'll read all the way to verse 27. Nay, but I'll verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave Onan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the earth. So as soon as the sacrifice was there, fire fell. See, this one gave us more detail. Fire fell. The fire of divine intervention always happened by the power of the blood sacrifice. Now move to verse 27 now. And he said, and the Lord commanded the angel. So as soon as the angel stopped, he was still waiting for action. He commanded the angel, and he put his sword back again into the sheath. By this sacrifice, this sword can't go out again. Return it back to where you took it from. The matter is over. Somebody say the blood. Somebody shout the blood of Jesus. Say, Father, thank you for the blood. Won't we thank him for the blood? Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the preservation power of the blood. I am grateful, Lord. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. Very quickly, our time is gone. What is in the blood? Or how does the blood preserve? Number one, the blood is our ransom. It is a transaction of exchange. It's our ransom. The one who shed his blood paid the price that the victim was meant to pay. The one who shed his blood bore the pain and the affliction that the victims were meant to bear. There is something that is very exciting that I saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, for ye are unleavened. Now, for even Christ our Passover, I thought he would say, was sacrificed. Because that was 2,000 years ago, he said, is sacrificed. That is, we have a present day ongoing sacrifice. The sacrifice that happened 2,000 years ago is tenable today. Is valid today. Christ was not our sacrifice. Christ is our sacrifice. Christ was not just sacrifice for us. Christ is sacrifice for us. Is. I wish that somebody would just establish their faith on the present day ongoing sacrifice. Jesus is. Matthew chapter 20 verse 28. The Bible said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom. Repeated in Mark chapter 10 verse 4:45. He came as a ransom. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5 to verse 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In case you don't know the work of the ransom, I'd like you to see Job chapter 33. From verse 18, you will see the work of the ransom. He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. This guy is chastened also with pain upon his body, and the multitude of his bones are dealt with strong pain, so that his life abhorred anorexia. He doesn't feel like eating. He's so, no matter how sweet the food is, he's not eating. Keep going. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, dried up like with HIV or whatever, and his bones that were not still stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave. He's just about to die, and his life to the destroyers. People are with him and interpret among the thousand that will show man his own. One who can take the place, then he is gracious.
Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom.
And after the ransom was found, his flesh became fresher than the flesh of a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Every time we encounter the communion, just understand that you are encountering the blood of your ransom. Whether it's a demonic terrorist that tried to capture your life, I have found a ransom, and you are not permitted to go down to the pit.
Lift your right hand and say, Father, thank you for sending your son as a ransom for my life, to rescue me from death and to redeem, to exchange his liberty for my captivity. That's right. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. The blood is our ransom. Number two, the blood transmits the life of the owner. When we encounter the blood, so when we talk about this ransom now, that was what that little kid of the goat did for Joseph. When that goat was killed, it took the place of Joseph. He became a ransom. All the sacrifices we mentioned, they just took the place of the other people. This person was Samson's parents, and then Israel and Samuel, and then the whole of the Moabite nation. One man took their place. The eldest son of the king of Moab was a ransom for the rest. And once that blood was shed, the rest are permitted to be free. Hallelujah! As I speak, may faith explode in your heart. May faith explode in your heart. To believe that you cannot die a useless death. To believe that Christ already took your place. The blood transmits the life of the owner. It connects us with the life of the one who bled. Leviticus 17:11. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life of Jesus Christ was in his blood. He said, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. John chapter 10 verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and you have it more abundantly. The blood of Jesus. Now, John chapter 6 verse 53 all the way to verse 55, 56 makes it very clear. He said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I'm reading all the way to verse 55. So move. Except whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood is living in me, and I am living in him. 57. As the living Father has sent me, hallelujah, as the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever it is for the son not to walk, na lie. But what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you must hear tonight, you must hear. I said what you must hear tonight, you must hear. Verse 57 again. He said, I'm sure you cut that place off. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Every time you take the communion, take it with the consciousness that you are connecting a life that couldn't be destroyed. Indestructible life. Sickless life. It is not just Ribena or whatever drink it is. It is spiritually transformed to become a communicator of the life of the owner. And tonight, you are taking the life of Jesus in the communion. Every trace of death in your body shall be swallowed up tonight. Every trace of disease shall be swallowed up tonight. You believe it? Shout the loudest, amen. The blood is our ransom. The blood transmits the life of the owner. Number three, the blood is a weapon of defense against the onslaught of the wicked. Is a weapon of defense. Revelation 12:11a, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. That is enough. It's a weapon of defense, even of attack. It's a weapon of both defense and attack against the onslaughts of the devil. I'm sure you remember that Samuel, as he was offering that suckling lamb, battle broke out. Calamity broke out in the camp of the enemy. They were not only defended, but the enemy suffered casualty. Also the king of Moab. Moab was not only defended, but Israel suffered calamity by the blood sacrifice. It's a weapon of both defense and attack against the onslaught of the wicked. Exodus 12:12-13. He said, I will move, for I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. That is defense. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 and verse 12. As for you, by the blood of your covenant, I have sent forth prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Now verse 12 said, turn you to your stronghold. So the blood is a stronghold. It's a bomb shelter. Ye prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. Somebody say hallelujah.
Little brother, say, I receive preservation. I receive security by the blood of Jesus. And I provoke attack in the camp of darkness by the blood of Jesus.
The blood is our ransom. The blood transmits the life of the owner. The blood is our weapon of defense and attack against the onslaughts of the wicked. Number four, the blood speaks mercy on the behalf of the saint. It speaks. So the blood has a voice. It has a voice. We heard about the voice of the blood in Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. When God began to speak to Cain, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And that cry was a cry of vengeance. But there is a blood. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 24. Hebrews 24. Jesus the mediator of the blood. Speaks Passover. 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 Speaks preservation. Speaks deliverance. Speaks liberty. The blood speaks. Every time we encounter the blood, we encounter the voice of the blood, and we encounter mercy and preservation. Number five. The blood is a channel of the blessing. And you will know the implication of that shortly. It's a channel of the blessing. And you know that the blessing, now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 16, the Bible calls the cup of the blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break. So, the communion cup is called the cup of the blessing. And you know that the blessing preserves. Isaiah 65, I believe it is in verse 8. It says, like the cluster of grape, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster.
And one said, destroy it not,
for a blessing is in it.
Whatever carries the blessing is not permitted to be destroyed. When I take the communion, and that was why Smith Wigglesworth took the communion daily.
He never played with communion. He never played with the anointing. He has, his suit has a pocket for anointing oil.
Daily. Because the Bible says, as often as you take it, as often. A blessing is in it, destroy it not. Destroy him not, he carries a blessing. As we take the communion tonight, everything that is trying to destroy you shall be returned back to hell. Every death, every sickness, every affliction, every disease looking for your destruction is fenced back to hell. Shout the Lord and say amen.
Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So, the sacrifice of Jesus offers us the blessing. Now, what is the meaning of this? Again, like I said, the blessing prevents destruction. And the blessing is the cure for the curse. For example, if there is a curse of premature death in your family or in your lineage, that the blessing swallows the curse.
If there is a curse of high blood pressure, it runs in the family. Diabetes runs in the family. Cancer runs in the family. And that exists as a curse. The blessing is the antagonist of the curse. The same way that light cancels out darkness.
This is what the blood is to us. There will be many, many, many more. But we'll stop there tonight. How do I engage the blood? What do I do with the blood? Number one, We engage the blood at the communion table. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 16, where we read just now, it said, the cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ we bless? At the place of the communion, you encounter the blood and encounter everything that the blood has to offer. In Matthew chapter 14 verse 22 to verse 25, Matthew 14, 22 to 25, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he has sent them away, all right, move forward. Okay, I think that I have another passage for this. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Say the cup of the communion. Say the communion cup is my cup of the blessing. Say it louder. The communion cup is my cup of the blessing. It's my cup of the blessing. It's my cup of the blessing. We engaged the blood at the table of the communion. Can we look at 24:22? I need to get this. Alright, I'll just get to find it right now. Well, first of all, look at Luke 22 and then verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. This cup, there is something I want to bring out to you so that you can understand something concerning this. I would look at Matthew chapter 26 verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of the sins. As they were eating, that is, whether it was breakfast bread, okay, supper, dinner bread, that is the bread that was part of the food they were eating. He took out of it. What's the meaning of that? Everything that is consecrated can serve as communion. The symbol is the bread and the wine. Right? Right in your own house, you can take the, he took bread. And then took wine that was on the dining table. So it is not the kind of bread or the wine that makes the difference, but the faith of the partaker. Excellent. We do it in church and that is perfect. And that is very, very perfect. But I have seen people in the midst of emergencies. They carry this bread or this wafer or this puff puff or whatever it is and carry this other one, consecrated it, and took communion with maximum effect. Somebody say amen. So the faith element of it is most critical. So we engage the blood of Jesus at the communion table. Number two, we engage... Oh, we haven't done number two. We engage the blood of Jesus by the declaration of faith. Declaration of faith. Revelation 12:11. They overcame Satan the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What they are saying. They overcame. So, Satan, I bring you into defeat by the speaking of the blood. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the blood, I scatter this witchcraft conspiracy. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Say, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. The same way we can say, by his stripes I was healed. And we declare it, and the devil hears. The same way we can say, by the blood, by the shed blood of Calvary, I defeat this witchcraft conspiracy. I defeat this satanic coven. I defeat this gang up of hell. We engage the blood of Jesus. Anybody walking into victory, shout the loudest amen. We engage the blood. Because the Bible says, many as are led. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have had all manner of operations. We have had people, aquarium, fish farm, where fish were dying like water. I'm sure you remember the testimony. He poured the communion wine inside that aquarium. That was the last death of the fish, was the last. When I heard that testimony, I said, so the fishes drank the communion. As led, not as you heard or saw another, as led by the Spirit per time. There are people who have done as if they were anointing themselves with the same, with drastic results, as led by the Spirit. Tonight, the major engagement will be with the communion and then the declaration. But I decree, in the name that is above every name, by the authority of the God who is on the throne, your victory is confirmed.
Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Stand on your feet and shout the Lord most amen. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for what you heard tonight. Appreciate him for his word. Honor him. Adore him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Be honored, Lord. Be adored. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands now and say after me, say, Father.
Father,
I receive victory
by the blood of Jesus,
over every conspiracy, of destruction,
of disease,
of death,
of disaster,
of wickedness. I receive victory.
I obtain victory
by the blood of Jesus, over every conspiracy, from the pit of hell, every ancestral,
generational,
witchcraft,
occultic
activities, or conspiracy against my life.
I receive
the victory.
Now,
go on ahead and pray. Do it for 2 minutes. Let us see
Father, we give you the praise. 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 I receive victory by the blood of Jesus over every conspiracy from the pit of hell, ancestral generational occultic activity against my life, my destiny, my family. I defeat you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. Thank you, Master. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and say after me, say, Father,
Father,
as I engage the communion tonight, in the communion table tonight, I receive rescue from every plot of the enemy for my life and my family. In the name of Jesus. I connect with the life of Jesus, indestructible life. Sickless life. Tireless life. In the name of Jesus. I connect to the blood tonight as my weapon of defense against every onslaught of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. I ask that the voice of the blood will be loud on my behalf against the voices of condemnation and destruction. In the name of Jesus. Father, I connect with the blessing of the blood. In the name of Jesus, to rescue me from destruction, the blessing of the blood, to shield me from every curse of life. Now, open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In case you are here tonight and you need to make your way right to Jesus so that the blood can be efficacious for your life, you quickly come forward here while we take these songs.
The blood of Jesus sets me free from death and sickness. The blood of Jesus sets me free. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets me free from death and sickness. The blood of Jesus.
Everybody sing the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus sets me free from death and sickness.
Anywhere you are. Just one moment. Let me give that call again. That's right. Come forward.
Don't wait for who will come out first.
I know I'm in sin. Lying, I'm stealing, I'm cheating. I'm duping.
I'm into masturbation, pornography, lesbianism, immorality. Whatever life that you are in, you need to make it right tonight so that Jesus' blood can work in your life. Quickly come forward. Go ahead with the song.
Blood of Jesus sets me free.
Two, I give you the count of 10. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10.
The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus.
You want to rededicate your life to Jesus also, come.
The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets me free.
Place your hand on your chest, all of you in the front, and pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come before you today. I receive freedom, deliverance from the power of sins. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today I go forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hold of the enemy is broken off your life. The grace to live for God is released. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a big clap as they proceed. I pray upon this communion tonight in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I decree that this communion blood becomes the blood of your ransom. Can I hear a louder amen? As you take this communion blood and body of Jesus into your system, I decree the transmission of the life of Christ in you and the destruction of death in your life in the name of Jesus. I declare your defense against every onslaught of hell. I ask that the blood will speak in your favor tonight. I ask that the blessing of the blood will kill every curse in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Everything called HIV dies tonight. Hepatitis A, B, or C, dry up tonight. Liver cancer dies tonight. Lung cancer, prostate cancer, ovarian cancer, brain tumor. I command that they die up tonight. Whatever does not stand, that does not conform to the life of Christ, that cholesterol is cleaned out of your blood. Hypertension is cleared out. Diabetes is cleared out. Ulcer is cleared out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, be free. Go ahead, celebratiously take your seat and take that communion. Please sit down, take the communion.
we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Be glorified in Jesus' name. You're already eating the communion. Stretch your two hands in front of you. I prophesy upon your hands. I declare that your harvest will look for you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shut up! Keep quiet! If he doesn't shut up, you take him out of here now. If you are lift up the bowl of oil in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this bottle of oil. I ask for fresh fire. No, if he keeps quiet, you leave him. If he has kept quiet, you leave him. Whoever is that. Father, in the name of Jesus, he suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings now. You can take your communion points of contact up as well. I pray upon every communion points of contact you have brought in here. The Lord releases blessing upon it. And I declare that everything that was preached tonight be communicated practically through that communion into your life, into your body, into your system. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.